Hey, it's great to be here on a Friday. Week 13, almost in the books. We are almost there, students and faculty and staff. Everybody take a deep breath in. Let it out. Almost there. Special welcome to our preview day guests and moms and dads that are with us. So glad that you're here checking us out and can be in chapel with us today. Fridays, most of our Fridays, we shift our scheduling in our chapel. We're going to be driving toward the altar. So many of you are accustomed to that. We're going to have some communion offering opportunity over here. We have faculty and staff that are ready to pray for you as students. And anybody needs divine healing, we've got our oil ready to pray and anoint you. And so that's what I want to drive to in this message. Those of you that are preview day students, we have a special lunch for you that starts right about 11:30. And so before we dismiss in chapel, we're going to allow you to be dismissed to get to your lunch. But there'll be an opportunity for you to partake in a little bit of the prayer time that we'll do at the end of this message. This morning, I've got an encouraging message for you, and it begins by me just simply asking you to answer a question by raising your hand, and I need you to be totally honest, okay? I need you to be totally, absolutely, don't hold back, be honest, all right? So with a raised hand, how many of you have ever in your life felt inadequate? Raise your hand. All right, these altars are going to be flooded with students that are going to respond, and I saw also faculty and staff raising their hands as well. Inadequacy, it's pretty much 100% of us. It's an awful feeling, like to feel like, I don't have what it takes, I'm totally inadequate. Nobody loves the feeling of inadequacy, and yet it's as common as breathing. It's like, welcome to the human race. Let me give you your first feeling, inadequacy. But here's the thing. Personally, I'm actually grateful when I feel inadequate. I'm grateful for that. I mean, you heard me right. I'm glad that I have a high level of inadequacy. And you're saying, like, why would you want to have that feeling of inadequacy? Why are you happy about that pit in the stomach, queasy feeling that makes you feel like so many things that you stare at are so much bigger than you, and how could I ever do that? Why do I like that feeling? Who in their right mind would be happy, excited, grateful for these feelings of inadequacy? Well, it's an easy answer. Anybody who wants to see God's adequacy show up like a flood. Like, if you want God to show up like a flood in your life, you've got to get comfortable with the feeling of inadequacy. Now, if you'd rather live on a purely human level, just based on your own human, adequacy, like I'll say, like, be my guest, go for it. But as for me, and I prayed this way for my kids all through their growing up years, and now praying for my grandkids, I want to cash in on God's adequacy, but there's a payment for that God's adequacy, and the payment is I've got to wrestle with my inadequacy. I can't wish it away. I can't pray it away. I can't hope that I can someday wake up and I no longer feel inadequate. Why would God come in like a flood with his supernatural adequacy if we got to the place where we feel like no thanks, God, I've got this, I'm good. I mean, who would say that? Nobody would. Who says, like, no thank you, God, not interested, I'm comfortable in my inadequacy. Actually, I love being average. I love just barely getting by. I love the lukewarm waters of never experiencing supernatural ability. God, my life mission is just, I don't really need anything supernatural to happen in my life. Nobody says that at North Central University. How do I know that? It's because all of you as students are here as a result of engaging in an academic journey that makes you often feel inadequate. That's what education is all about. To take classes that are beyond your adequacy, that stretches you, and you pass that class and you've developed some more adequacy, and then you go to the next level of classes only to be made to feel inadequate again. All for a good reason. You know that's why you're here. You've signed up for the academic grind of inadequacy. All of you know, many of you are struggling with the financial inadequacy. How do I pay for all this? How is it all going to happen? And it makes you feel inadequate. But you do so because you all know that the upside is huge. The upside of inadequacy is huge. So I want to let you in on a little secret about inadequacy. What I want to refer for the rest of this message, and not so much as inadequacy, but I want to refer to it as disability. The title of this message is The Disability Advantage. And here's the secret about disability or inadequacy. Here it is. Disability never disqualifies. And there are all kinds of examples in the Bible. We could make a whole sermon series all year about this, but for the sake of time, I want to look at one primary passage, 2 Corinthians 12. Starting in verse 1, Paul says, I must go on boasting. Although there's nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows. He was caught up to paradise. And he heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. Verse 5, I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Verse 6, even if I should boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than what is warranted by what I do or say, verse 7, or because of these surpassing great revelations. Now here's what I want you to get. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. But he said, get this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, in disability, in inadequacy. So Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my inadequacy, my disability, my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul learned how to love his inadequacy, his disability, his thorn in the flesh. He says, I will boast about it. This passage supports the final point that I want to drive to, and I just want you to put this aside. I want to outline three ways in which we can have the advantage through our disability. What is the disability advantage? First of all, when you feel disabled to do something, what you have at store, what you have in your grasp is other ability. Other ability. I'm referring to other abilities that are inside of you that only emerge when a particular inadequacy or disability is handcuffing you. We might call this the law of compensation. Not compensation in like you work and then you get money, but what I'm talking about is adjustments that are made in our own lives when in response to an isolated disability, some of our other abilities seem to emerge. The genius of God and how he created our bodies is amazing. When a part of the human body is disabled, other parts of our body naturally kick in to compensate for that disabled part. Let me give an example. Do you know that when a person is nervous, they get cold hands? How do I know this? Because all the years of pastoring on Sunday mornings, I was really nervous as the preacher. And I would come to church and I'd start shaking hands with people before the service start. And if one person said it, hundreds and thousands, almost every weekend, I'd shake hands with somebody and they'd say, oh, Pastor Doug, your hands are so cold. Why were my hands cold? It's because my nervous system sent a message throughout my body, alert, 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 all hands on deck. This human being is showing signs of a potential emergency. And so the adrenal glands released adrenaline through my body, which gave me great focus, and it also gives you like superhuman strength. But also, all the available blood begins to flood the major organs when you are on alert. Which is why a person who's nervous often has cold hands, because the blood vessels are squeezing and retracting like a pump, directing blood to the major organs. Interesting, isn't it? Without even knowing what's happening in your body, You're not directing it, but God made the individual parts of your body to respond to compensate when specific areas of the body are under attack. So you've got a disability. You've got an inadequacy in some area of your life. So what? Other gifts inside of you are going to rise to the occasion and compensate for that inadequacy that you have. Let me give you a cool example. In high school, I had a very good friend who was a great athlete, but he had a disability. Cancer took his leg right below the knee when he was in seventh grade. And so he became an amputee at 12 years of age. But with his prosthetic leg, in football, he was our center. And he was only about as tall as me, but he learned the technique of being a center. In basketball, and there's a picture behind me of my friend Jim dribbling the ball. And if you notice on his right leg, that's a prosthetic leg. But he was our point guard in our varsity basketball team that won state our senior year. But get this. In track, he was a high jumper. He was 5'8", and he cleared 6 feet. He jumped 4 inches above his height. How does a guy jump 4 inches above his height with a prosthetic leg? It's called the law of compensation. Since seventh grade, he was hopping around on that left leg. And when you're hopping around on just your left leg, guess what happens to the left leg? It gets stronger. And that becomes the leaping leg, which enabled him to jump 4 inches higher than his height, besides the fact that 5'8", he dunked without any problem. Think of David in the Bible for just a moment regarding this law of compensation. Do you all understand what David's disability was? It's called birth order. He was the last boy born in the family. And that was a disability because on the ranch, guess who had to watch the sheep in the midnight hour? It was David. So he's got to watch the sheep at the time when all the predators are coming out. And so what does he do? He's got the disability. He's got this rotten job, this rotten assignment, but he hones a different ability with a sling. And don't you know that that ability with a sling comes into play when someone needs to take on a Goliath? See, David's disability, birth order, became an ability, a sick ability with a sling. And you think about the David and Goliath battle. We say David was the underdog, but with a sling, Goliath really was the underdog. It's amazing. So you've got other ability. Secondly, as the team is coming up, you've got others' ability. Others' ability or abilities. Not only do you have compensating abilities inside of you, but when you have a disability or an inadequacy, there's all kinds of other people that can help compensate for that. Quickly, Exodus chapter 4 tells us the story of Moses, where God has called Moses to do this incredible assignment. I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to lead the people out of Pharaoh's control, and I want you to lead them to the promised land. And Moses has all these excuses. He's afraid. He's fearful. And he says, oh, God, how can I do it? I have inadequate speech. I'm slow of speech and tongue. And God says, hey, no problem. I'll give you everything that you need to say. Don't sweat it. Like, I'll be an earpiece to tell you what to say. But Moses is so insecure because he actually has this stuttering. And he says, oh, just choose someone else. And God, it says, gets angry, burns with anger, because God had ordained that Moses would be the man in spite of his disability. And so Moses says, get someone else. And God says, no, it's nobody else, it's you. But your brother Aaron speaks well. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to speak to Aaron behind the scenes, and then he's going to speak for you in front of Pharaoh, and I'm going to be the one ultimately that's going to be moving your lips. And we know the end of the story. God shows up, and he uses Moses in spite of his disability. There's an ability that Aaron has. And I think this is exactly what Paul's referring to in 1 Corinthians 12 when he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker, they're actually indispensable. Like when you feel inadequate, you can't do it, you are actually indispensable for what God wants to do. Because he's looking for someone whose inadequacy makes room for God. which is the third point. You've got other ability beside your disability. You've got other people around you that have abilities. But thirdly, you got God's ability. God's ability. And this is where it gets fun. This is where it gets exciting. This is where God shows up. But the fact of the matter is God's track record shows that his tendency is to show up only after we've exhausted all of our ability. Why would God drop a miracle while we were still trying to work it out with our ability? We take credit for it. Which takes us back to where I started. Feelings of inadequacy. Reality of a disability. That common universal feeling that we all feel almost daily. I'm not enough. The woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, Mark 5 and Luke 8, give us the description. She was sick for 12 years, and the ability of the doctors was not sufficient to get her well. Jesus becomes the only option, and the power of Jesus shows up in her life. And we might ask, well, why does she have to suffer for 12 years? It's like the same question. Why does Paul have to continue to wrestle with this thorn in the flesh? The Bible doesn't give us any indication that God took away the thorn in the flesh. He maybe died with that thorn, still bothering him, whatever it was. Here's the choice you and I have. We can choose to live life with no disability, strive for that, and thus live without the power of God working in and through us. Or we can recognize our disability, our inadequacy, and in that, come to an altar like we're going to do in just a couple of minutes, and we can cry out, God, I need access to your supernatural ability because I got to put my disability at the altar, and I've done all that I know to do, and I need you to show up. And I'm telling you, between those two options, I'm picking the second option every day. I'm not going to run from my disability. I'm not going to pretend that it doesn't exist. I'm not going to pretend that I'm Superman. I'm going to say, God, I need you. And you know what? God is going to show up. So I want you to stand to your feet and close your eyes for just a minute. We're going to take the last 20 minutes to pray, to seek after God, to have people pray for us in light of our disability, our inadequacy. Every one of you, virtually all of you, raised your hands when I started this sermon. You all have inadequacy. You hate it. I hate it. So why don't we come to the altar and give it to the Lord? But I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. How do I move from disability to super ability? How do I get the advantage? And I got to be real basic right now. Number one, sins forgiven. Sins forgiven. Listen, it sounds so simple, but because it's so simple, we blow it off. Sin is our greatest disability. Your greatest disability has nothing to do with your brain or your body or your background. Your greatest disability is about bondage to sin. Even as a Christian, you've been redeemed, yes, but you're not perfect yet, meaning you're still dealing with sin. I'm still dealing with sin. So we've got to be serious about it. We got to admit it. That's called confession. We need to run from it. That's called repentance. And we need to stay away from it. That's called discipleship. And some of us need to come to this altar and deal with the sin. And then secondly, we got to get Spirit-filled. Sins forgiven makes us candidates now of this overflowing supernatural dunamis power that can come upon us to be a witness. And that witnessing of Christ is most powerful when people see us wrestling with our inadequacy and our disability with a smile on our face because we're not letting it conquer us. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's sins forgiven, Spirit-filled, and lastly, story faithful. You are saved and you are filled that you might live a story of God, your testimony. So as we shift into this time of prayer, I'd like to first of all have everybody that would like to bring their inadequacy to the altar to come right now. Step from where you're standing. Just come right now to the altar. And I want you to be on your knees. I want you to come to the altar And I just want you to say through this posture of humility, God, I'm bringing my inadequacy, the yucky feeling I have in my stomach about what I have to face, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, and I don't have it to do it in myself, and I need supernatural ability. I'm bringing my inadequacy to you. And I'm bowing before you, and I'm declaring, God, forgive me of my sins. I've been saved a long time, but if I think about it, I did something yesterday. I said something this morning already. I need to confess it. And Lord, I need you to help me to run from it. I need to repent. I need to run from it. And on my knees, I'm saying I'm running from it. And Lord, I want to stay away from it. So God, disciple me. Help me to grow. Help me to mature. I'm wrestling with anxiety about inadequacy, how it's all going to work out. I just want to make sure, God, between you and me, it's clean. It's a clean slate. As I confess my sins, as I say, Lord, show me how not to fall into that sin again. And help me, Lord, with a strategy to stay away from it. Lord, with that as a foundation, we're candidates. We are now candidates of you flooding into our life with something supernatural. It might come through the form of a different ability inside of us that we weren't even aware is going to compensate and get us through it. It might come in the form of another person coming alongside me saying, I see that you're struggling here. I'm actually gifted in that area. Let me help you. And it just might come directly from heaven. An ability that we have, like, where did that come from? How did I figure that out? And it came from you. I'd like to have faculty and staff just come to the altar area and just start laying hands on these students that are bowed before the Lord and just pray over them. Just pray over them. Pray God's blessing upon them. If you are not at the altar, you see a friend up here who's kneeling, you could come alongside them. Just pray for them. Just lay your hands on them. Pray over them. Encourage them. We need every student that's kneeling at the altar having somebody who's laying hands on them and praying for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.